This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Before you go, Robin, I want to talk about another case here. Brian Koberger, obviously, we've been covering it since its inception. New video just released recently of Brian Koberger shopping. This is on a shopping trip. We can pull up the video. There's no sound to it. I'll just kind of narrate as it goes on as we all take a look at this. Go ahead and hit it. This is at a Costco. This is the morning. This is just moments or hours after the murders. He's wearing that white shirt, it looks like, that he was wearing in that shot in the bathroom. And he's going into the Costco without a Costco card. And just look at his gait. Look at his attitude. He's trying to negotiate his way into the Costco without a Costco card. Thinking he's just going to go on in. Dress shirt. And this would have been, was this a Saturday morning? Saturday or Sunday morning?
He feels empowered, doesn't he?
What's that?
He feels empowered.
Yes.
Yeah, and he had his coffee cup that allows him to feel like he's socially doing what he's supposed to do. So remember, he drinks coffee, I think.
It's actually a water bottle that he's holding. It appears he was on a mission for coffee. Okay. Because what we're about to find next in this video is after he's finally accepts that he's not allowed into the Costco. I don't know if he's like, you know, I can't come into the Costco. I mean, I just murdered four people. You're not going to let me into the Costco. Here he is circling a coffee stand in the white Hyundai Elantra. Eventually, I think it's closed. I'm not sure. Because eventually we're going to see him wander into a grocery store. So this is what he did. This is what he did the morning, literally just hours after the killings. He was on the phone with his mother, we know, during some of these times. He could be chatting it up with her right now as he slowly prowls next to the Mocha Joe or whatever this is.
Freaking Starbucks. They're on every corner and he's out, you know, out west. There's a ton of Starbucks out there.
There he is in the Kroger.
Yep. Feeling like the big man.
And then he circles the store a little bit, then we find him checking out here.
So I want everyone to keep watching. So, you know, the first thing I saw was that cup when he walked in. So when we're baselining the world around us, it's so easy to see people that stand out, and he just stands out because he still has no ability how to be a real boy. It's just, he's incapable. That's why he used props, like whether it's a coffee cup or anything else. Mm-hmm. He sees people drinking coffee. He thinks that's what social average people do. So he uses it like a prop. He uses everything in his life as a prop to try to be a real person. And he has no idea how to do it. Everything in life is complete mimicry to him. He has zero internal.
There he's the one at the checkout right now in the dress shirt.
But you see how he stands out?
Yeah.
Everything always stands out. His body language, his movements, his attire, what he's doing. He has no idea how to be a human. It's completely foreign to him.
Why is that? Why is he that clueless on just the basic functions?
This is 100% psychopathy. 100%. There is zero, and that's why I've been so doubled down, as many of us have, of don't overthink him. There's nothing in there. Yeah. So imagine this. He is a wolf right now trying to mingle around a herd of gazelles. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Here he comes.
And he's trying to blend in with the environment to try not to be alerting to all the prey around him. And so right now he's the lion at the watering hole where he's actually not going to kill one of the gazelles sipping, but he's there and he still looks like a lion because that is exactly what's there. He is pure predator that has no idea how to fit it in with the rest of the humanity. He's got there's nothing there. That is psychopathy. That's why this is a missing part of his empathetic brain. It's just not there.
Let's rewind it back to the beginning again, Todd.
I'm sorry, Stacey, go ahead.
Robin, how many of those people are amongst us right now? I mean, you go to the grocery store and there's that weird guy who's standing by the honeydew melons and he turns around and looks at you. Is that one of them? I mean, are they out there?
Yeah, they're out there. There's not as many that I've never seen anyone that spiked. I mean, again, I'm not a counselor, so I don't see as many as counselors would or psychologists would. But when in my time of doing it, I've never seen anyone that pure of that. But they're around us. And so what she also can do is the reason allows us to say things like that about him is because we have a lot of data points on him. We've been studying him for 4 years now, or we're coming up on four. And so there's a lot of other data points that keep supporting that. So it's easier to have our confirmation bias. Like when we're watching this, I already know, all right, I'm dealing with a psychopath. Let's look for psychopathic things. Sure. And that's what I see. Now, when you look at the creepy guy at the honeydew melons, what we don't have is data points to say, is this someone who's just excessively lonely? Is he an energy vampire just looking to make a connection? Is he mentally disturbed? Does he have other traumas? I mean, so there's a lot of things that could be feeding into that behavior that we don't know about. But could he be high level in psychopathy? Yes, definitely could be. But we just don't know enough. But in this case, oh, yeah, we know.
When you look at that, when we go back to the start of that, I mean, when we look at his gait, the way he walks in, the way that he's going to be questioned here again in a moment, and if you're not watching this, you can see it on our YouTube channel. He's questioning, he looks into the store like, you're questioning me?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was walking with intent, and then he got stopped, looked like.
Yeah.
Like, he was just going to barrel in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what would be really interesting to see is I would love to see video of him prior to the murders and after the murders.
Yeah.
Because compare and contrast is what we really need here to see if that's – like if we're seeing this gait, is this just his normal arrogance or is it because he feels empowered? I'd be very curious about that.
Well, and it's not difficult to get a Costco membership. You just go to the counter and pay.
You probably could even get like a day pass, honestly. Yeah.
But remember, he thinks he's the big man. I mean, he does it in class. He does it as a teaching assistant. And so he would actually bully people all the time from the data we're seeing from how his students were
around to him too. He hasn't been fired yet.
Right. So, I mean, here's someone who's very arrogant and self-confident. Is like, hey, I'm Brian Kober. I can do this. I'm over here. I'm a PhD student. Why don't you let me in?
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, I'm the guy who just killed all these kids and got away with it.
I mean, just think of it. I mean, you know, Stacey, you said earlier, like, you know, are these people everywhere? I mean, look at these people just going in shopping.
But you see,
it could be you. It could be anybody going in shopping.
But you also see how casually he walked out, though. So it didn't bother him that he got rejected. Did he do it just for the chance to showcase himself and interact? To me, that might have just been a moment of, hey, look at me, look how great I am. I don't really want to go in here. I just want to show you how confident I am. That could just be it too.
I'm going to guess he's having some. Go ahead, Robin.
I was saying he's not ranting or raving. In other words, we know he's got a lot of rage in him. He's not showing rage right here.
It's like he's walking in. There's like a cognitive distortion going on in his mind that it's like, look at me. He feels he's bigger than the room. And even though nobody in that room even notices he's there, in his mind, after this, he thinks it's like, look at this.
Or he might have. So here's again, there's so many possibilities because we don't know. Or he just actually has no idea how Costco works. And it's because it's such a social place, he feels like, hey, I'm going to try this place that I've never had the courage to go out before because there's all these people here. But now I feel more comfortable around people because I'm so arrogant. I need a pass to come in here? Oh, I've never been to Costco before. Huh. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that information. I'll go join a membership. I'll come back later. Thank you.
It's like a real sick, twisted version of winning the Super Bowl. You just won the Super Bowl. Where are you going to? Disney World, Koberger. You just killed four people. What are you going to do? I'm going to Costco.
But you see how we can do all these different overlays if we don't have more data on it?
But totally.
To me, since he was turned away and we know he's got rage issues, that means he doesn't know he's about to be turned away. And he had no expectation of really being able to get in. So if he had, think about this, if he had an expectation that he could actually get in, and he was denied, he'd get pretty angry.
Jennifer in the comments just had an interesting point that could he have been establishing more of his alibi?
Possibly that too. Although different times.
A little late. Yeah.
A little late, but still maybe, you know, gee, I was out doing normal things. How could I have murdered anybody, you know?
Sure. Or was it to make him feel more normal after murdering people?
I think he's reveling in the fact that he feels more normal right now.
The fact that as soon as he walks away, he takes a drink out of that water bottle. It's like arrogance. I see arrogance with it. Like, oh, okay, I'm just going to drink.
Yep.
I'm going to drink on the way in.
And he's the only one doing it, Todd.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's creepy. That's why I wanted to play that with you, Robin. And
that's
get your
good stuff.
If you played that Rick Astley, I could make him dance around to it little bit. But, you know, okay.
Never going to you in.
But again, just, you know, when we're looking at that, that's what we do. Just look at what stands out. Oh, my God.
Robin's never coming back again.
I think you're right, Stacey.
Here we go. Look at him. He's dancing.
Great working with you, Robin.
Here's what's really great about it. He's spending the rest of his life.
Never been to Costco. Cold burger is getting rejected fast, and he wants to get some coffee going on.
And as Steve Conglave said, he's getting a big D right now.
Big D! Oh, there you go.
Gonzalez family saying yes. The big D is coming for you, buddy.
Big D is coming.
Enjoy that Costco moment.
Cold burger's getting the big D in prison now. Okay.
Got a glimpse into what it's like working with Tony.
You know, he's been working with me for a long time.
Tuning in every day. You know, I've given up on all my professionalism and everything else.
For ruining his reputation, Tony.
I've given up on all my dignity, Robin, so don't worry.
I'm going to start wearing my ACDC shirt on now instead of my collar shirt.
Be great. Why not? Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Unit. We will get you to sing some karaoke one of these days. Enjoy the rest of your camping trip, and thank you for taking some time this morning to hang out with
us. Always, guys. Love being with you all. See you soon.
See you, Robin. Thank you. Let's continue on. We're going to keep going into the Koberger conversation, because that's not the only video that was released very, very recently. We have questioning video, I should say. Police interviews is what it is, of Dylan Mortensen and Bethany Funk. We know that one of them has been released. Another one has come out, and we're going to take a look at both of them this morning. We've not actually done that on the program yet. We're not doing it to pick it apart, but to really understand the psychological weight of what these two girls lived through. There's been so many horrible people out there that have said so many horrible things about these two young women who were utterly traumatized by that night, by that monster that walked into the Costco with that level of arrogance. That I think it is in no way to exploit these girls or have to show off the pain that they're going through in any sort of way like that, but more so for understanding and see, okay, what was it like for them? What was going through their minds hours after realizing four of their friends were just murdered in the very house that they were in, that they clearly were frightened that night as well and didn't know what was going on. So we're going to go through this and we'll break it down and we'll talk about what we're seeing and there's a lot here. We'll start with this one. Which one is this, Todd? Is this Bethany or?
This is the other.
Okay, this is Dylan. Okay, so Dylan, this is Dylan. And this is the new one. This is the one that had just been released. It's a lot shorter than the other video that had been released, but let's take a look. This is them being interviewed by police that day.
Something else. It's got something that Mike said. Things were happening in the waste industry. Had anybody that he thought might have assaulted you or that was just acting weird?
No, remember about a month ago, there were police officers that Caleb outside taking Murphy out and she saw a shadow.
Yep. Okay.
And then when Caleb was at Winco, Zeno was in the car. She noticed this guy was following her. She's getting put in the car, and she could see in her mirror that the guy was behind her in the car.
Okay.
So obviously, he was trying to follow her. And then that was about like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And then about a week ago, our door is broken, but the Maddie and the home door is wide open. And like, obviously, yes, the door is broken, but that could also be something else as well.
Wait, the front door?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever find the back stand or anything, or anything? The ledges you locked? What's the condition?
I mean, we're pretty good at locking it.
Okay, cool.
I don't think we locked it last night.
And can you, it sounds like the car is fairly well known to the front door for my people.
I mean, only people that, like, know us. Like, random people would not know, but,
right.
Like...
Right. Yeah. Because the human right?
Yeah.
Yes. Obviously, Dutch, so someday she's been moving with you guys passively. Yeah. I'm telling you, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did Charlie ever say anything or report that Martin's to anybody else that has a new age?
No, because I mean, like, you can't, there's like no proof, you know, I can't really do anything about it. And people are just weird sometimes. We didn't, like, obviously, we were scared for a little bit. You didn't think much about it after that because there's nothing like weird after that.
Did she seem like, what kind of car it was that I was driving? Something like that. Why don't she work?
She worked at home for a business, I believe. I can't remember what exactly it is.
So she was just in the, she works for her garden. For the garden, but yeah. With him, Dahl, Maddie and Zana, where did they work?
Maddie and Zana both worked at Mad Greek. And then Maddie also had a paid internship through this business as well. That was all night at home.
Who would know what that business is? What I didn't do that.
You might know.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called. There's like, because they were business majors and through their majors, so they're able to get these jobs.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I just need something about Andy talking about something like that.
Yeah.
And I heard that it was possibly new. So I just wanted to make sure that I got the right person having those kind of things. Did you hear Murphy barking or doing anything?
Yes, he was barking a lot.
Throughout the night or?
And I heard Kelly go upstairs, he's barking a lot. And then I could tell that he was out. Sorry, I don't know how the police found him because he was in the house.
Okay.
But he was, he has puppy and barks, but he was barking a lot if there was someone there.
And that was, that 132 or was that really short?
Yeah.
And then he was barking. I mean, first time on barking after she was up there playing. Did you hear him inside, go outside, or did he start outside?
Murphy was with Kara when they were, like, dancing. They walked upstairs. He was still with her. And then when she went down, it's moved here, he started barking in the house. And then I believe the side door was open, and I think he went out that way because I could tell, like, what side of his barking was getting, like, more distant.
Do you think that Murphy would have went after him, where he was?
Maybe, but I mean, he's a puppy. He doesn't fully know that.
I don't know. He would just be, if anything, probably didn't play with him.
Yeah.
When that guy in black left, did he close the slot door or did he leave it open?
I don't know. I just ran downstairs.
Right. Okay. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to go talk to my guys who don't want to wait interviews and see if anybody's got questions on that.
There you go.
Got to turn my mic back on. So that's the interview there. I know I got some things to say. What stood out to you?
I'm blown away at how calm she was. I mean, I can't even imagine the roller coaster of emotions, you know, that she had to have gone through from frantic craziness to. At that point, it just seems like she's worn the hell out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems like she's numb.
Exactly.
It was just this numbness about her that she's like the trauma is definitely there and the shock is there, but it's just like, I don't know what to do with this information. I'm just giving it to you. I can't process it right now. It's how I felt through it.
Yeah. I I think there's a lot of thinking there, a lot of just trying to figure out what the hell is the world looking like now that she's woken up and this is the reality of what's going on. The dog being there, and I mean, you're got to be double thinking everything, especially when you are being questioned about, excuse me, your door being locked. Is it locked? Is it not locked? We're pretty good about it. We're not. Look, I mean, as an adult, it's easy to go. I mean, I lock my shit. I always have. Yep. I'm just like that. A lot of people aren't. Most college kids are not. Of course, you would think you're a house of college girls. Why the hell are you not locking your doors? Because they're college girls and they haven't experienced, fortunately, up until this point in life, a lot of horrible threats like this or unfortunate, you know, so ignorance can be bliss.
It could just be one person too. Maybe everybody in the house is really vigilant about keeping the doors locked, but you've got the ding dong in the room next to
you. You got all these people
forgets to lock the door.
People are coming and going. You're always going to have the ding dong. And look, at that age, everybody's just not that bright when it comes to security and things of that nature. There's not.
Also, Tony, though, you said it, like, you don't look through life thinking something like this is going to happen in your immediate circle, even outside the immediate circle of people you live with, coworkers, you know, loved ones who live out of state. You don't think it's ever going to touch you.
No. And then until you live it, then I can guarantee these girls are locking their doors every place they go today. Yeah. That lesson should not have been learned that way, but it wasn't even a lesson in that. This guy, Koberger, would have gotten in. He would have found a way to get in. It's not hard to pry a patio door.
Tony, Jennifer said, you know, you live by your experiences.
Yep.
And, you know, you guys have kind of laughed at me about this, but this is the first time I've lived by myself in, 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm training in martial arts. You guys laughed at me, but I literally have 6 knives that are ready to go because I live in a ground floor apartment. It's kind of nerve-wracking. You know, I've got a sliding glass door. I've got several windows. I work in true crime. So I'm seeing all this stuff. I have knives strategically placed that if somebody were to come in here and attack me, I know exactly where to go in each room that I could get a knife and defend myself. It's a weird feeling and it sounds paranoid, but I'd rather have that than not.
A note that we will not be having the Christmas party at Stacy's house. Too many knives.
No way.
Although if we have to cut cake, we could do it in any room.
Exactly. Then we're good.
They're very sharp knives, let me tell you. But yeah, I mean, you live by your experiences. Jennifer was right. Yeah. This is what you do to protect yourself. And you know what? 30 years ago, this never would have crossed my mind. But life experience puts you exactly where you are.
Yeah.
And I've got like a bar in my sliding glass door because you can jimmy a door open.
Yeah, I have that. I've always,
You know,
well, and I think a lot of it comes from like your upbringing as well. I mean, I was brought up in a fairly anxious mother or with a fairly anxious mother. Todd laughs. Is he getting in the way down there at the radio station, Todd? I can come get him if I need to. Every day.
Mom, everything's fine, Mom.
Every day.
Is the story we're going to need to hear.
Every day for like the first 6 months I worked at the radio station at like my school bus would drop me off and I'd go into the studio with Todd. And then my mom's call. Is he getting in the way? Every day. Seriously,
Todd, this happened?
He's not exaggerating by much. It's it's serious. Yeah.
Yeah. Where the hell was I going with all that? I lost my train of thought. But it is.
Well, you grew up with it.
So I grew up with that, and we always had bars in our patio doors. The doors are always locked. You check them before you go to bed, and it's always been second nature to me. So, but that's me. That's my experience. It doesn't mean everybody had that by any means. And as you get older, you start to realize, not everybody has that experience. No, not everybody is locking their door, and that's one of the anxiousnesses. Or the anxieties of my mother that I'm okay with. I'm good to lock my door. I'm glad I have that anxiety. I have that in the back of my mind every night before I go to bed. Let's just go check the doors, make sure they're locked and go to bed. I'm cool with that one. I think that's a healthy anxiety for anyone to have.
What harm does that cause? I mean,
nothing. Nothing. It makes it a little inconvenient sometimes.
I'd rather have you be safe and have that door locked than you're kind of scatterbrained and you don't lock it and somebody decides to come and do something.
But I also can't fault a group of late teens and early 20s who maybe have never brought, who were not brought up that way, who maybe had their doors open all the time, to suddenly have a click in their mind and go, I really should put bars in all those doors and I should do this, I should do that, because it's not even there. It wasn't programmed. So you can't expect it to just magically show up if it's not there, if they've never had an experience or a reason or, you know, a motivation to do that. And it takes motivation to do that. And not motivation in like a, oh, you're unmotivated, but in a, there's something that's triggering you to do this because you are viewing a possible perceived threat. They didn't even, they weren't thinking that way. And it's not their fault. They're young kids.
No.
Yeah.
So,
right after the murders, somebody was asked about the situation and somebody said, I don't remember who it was, but they literally said, nothing ever happens in Moscow.
Exactly.
So that was their mindset. They, nothing like this was ever going to happen there. So why worry about some dog barking?
And most people make it through life just fine and nothing happens. And they're able to live with the doors unlocked and, you know, great. That's you're lucky as shit if that's how it works. And more power to you that doesn't have to be something. And that's why so many people just don't do it, because the odds are not in your favor that something bad is going to happen. They're more in your favor that it's all going to work out okay. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, when I see the judgments out there, why didn't they do this? If it was my daughter that was there, I would be like, you guys really need to lock the door. And you know what? It wouldn't make a goddamn bit of difference, because people are coming and going from the place, and one person saying they want to do it ain't going to change it. So they got to have grace with the people, these kids, the way that some of these people have been attacking these girls.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.